Turn with me to Psalm 143. Psalm 143. The scripture declares in Luke 11:1, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, the Lord was praying. Again, is our blessed surety. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to supplicate to God. As John also taught his disciples, Lord, teach us to humbly ask and seek and knock. Teach us to do that. Prayer. Prayer is that which every believer does. And every believer knows that prayer, it primarily is a very private matter. The scripture says, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. It's a very private matter. This is why it's so hard, these men that stand and read scripture, lead in prayer. That's a very hard thing. It's a very difficult thing. You can't pray without being aware that everybody's listening. But whenever a believer is alone with the Lord, they can get honest. They get honest. They lose all that, frothy religious talk. And they just pray. They just ask. The Lord hears them. And they ask to be heard. But while they pray, we also know it's that which requires God's Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth, continually helps, ever helps our infirmities. Why? Because we don't know what we should pray for. We don't know how to pray as we ought. We pray. We don't know what to ask for. And a believer knows that. So the Lord was asked by his disciples, teach us to pray. And I know so little, I know little about prayer. I don't know. All I know is what these scriptures declare about prayer. I've heard people say, boy, I tell you, he's such a prayer warrior. Well, I don't know that much about prayer. But I can tell you this. It's the very breath of your soul, your heart. You must pray. And the Lord, who teaches his people to pray, he does it in a very wise and powerful way. Now listen to this. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, here's what the scripture sets forth. This message is a message that sets forth on how the Lord teaches his people to pray. Teach us to pray. How does he do that? Well, I know this. Psalm 77:2 says this. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore, S-O-R-E, my sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. When he says my sore, that is the wound to my soul. How does God teach his people to pray? Well, the first thing I know is that he wounds them in their soul. He chastens them. He brings them to see something of themselves. Listen to Psalm 86:7. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. You want to know something about prayer? You have the Spirit of God move upon you to trouble you, to bring you to see something of yourself, something of your need of him. And you're going to find out something about prayer. You're going to find out something about asking and seeking and knocking. The Lord Jesus Christ, again, I'm just amazed when I read these scriptures concerning his obedience and submissiveness and faithfulness as our surety. Listen to this. The way that we're taught to pray is the way he also prayed. We, because of sin, him because of his awareness of our sin and feeling and bearing the weight of it, knowing it, and not a sinner in himself, but knowing, being acquainted with sin, feeling and bearing the feeling of our infirmities. And this is how he prayed. Hebrews 5:7, who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. He was heard in that he, in reverent anxiety, he who knew no sin, felt the weight of it without being a sinner. Lord, teach us to pray. You want to know something about prayer? You want the Lord to teach you? You want to learn? Well, I'm going to tell you right now. This is where he's going to teach you. People say, I want to pray. Boy, as we're in union with him, we cry unto the Lord in the day of trouble. That's when you're going to pray. You won't be just going through. I've said before, I listen to my own prayers and they just seem so repetitious, just the same. Over and over and over. But there's times when the Lord allows, in his indescribable love and compassion, and allows me to see something of myself and to go through something and feel the weight, the burden of myself. And then the Spirit of God helpeth us. Help us. Hebrews 12:5, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Lord, teach us to pray. He will. He shall. The chastening hand of the Lord draws us to him. Doesn't it? That's the truth now. The chastening hand of the Lord teaches us to pray. It don't come natural. David said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes, your rule, your will. Look at Psalm 143. Now listen to one that's been taught something about prayer. Listen to David as he prays. Listen, you ask, you know, we'll all admit, every believer here is going to admit, I don't know a whole lot about prayer. But this, you'll read this, we'll read this together, and this is what a believer is going to say. That's my prayer right there. I don't know a lot about it, but this is what I pray. 143, verse 1, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. Here's the regenerate soul pleading with God for deliverance, totally upon the footing of Christ's righteousness charged to us. Not because of my righteousness. Lord, he didn't say, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my supplication. In my righteousness and faithfulness, answer me. No, Lord, because of your faithfulness. Because of your faithfulness and your righteousness. I plead your righteousness and faithfulness, not mine. Oh, but for the sake of Christ. For his goodness, for his mercy, for his compassion. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Hear me. Lord, I'm in trouble. Hear me. Look at verse 2. Enter not into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. A believer pleads this according to God's satisfied justice and grace. Lord, you paid my debt. Lord, you've put away my guilt. Lord, you've charged me with your righteousness and robed me with your robe of obedience. Lord, don't enter into judgment with thy servant. Lord, I know you won't, only because you've satisfied the justice of God against me. A believer knows he's done that, and he still asks for it. He knows something about himself, so he pleads. One that's saved, what does he say? Lord, save me. One that the Lord's had mercy upon, what does he say? Lord, have mercy on me. Someone say, well, don't you think he will? He's already had. A believer says, I'm going to ask. I'm going to keep asking. How about coming? He that cometh. David said, this is all my hope. This is all my salvation. You made with me an everlasting covenant. Ordered in all things and sure. That's my only hope for pardon. That's my only hope for acceptance. In the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. I know by the deeds of the law, I know no man is justified. Lord, have mercy on me for your name's sake. Look at verse 3 and 4. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He's smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. Oh, as he stood, as I said a moment ago, as our representative before God, he felt all that was due us. He knew it. He was acquainted with it. He was acquainted with grief. Had he not intervened, we would have suffered the punishment. The enemy hath persecuted my soul. Every believer knows something about his enemy. The enemy of himself, sin, Satan's fiery darts, this world, My enemy has beat me to pieces. I feel the weight of it. It was David confessing his knowledge of being born in Adam. Sin has made my life one of sorrow. Never bothered me before till the Lord revealed himself. And now here I am. He says in verse 5, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. David was one that had seen some deliverance from the Lord. He remembered. Whether he was talking about being delivered by the Lord from the lion or the bear or Goliath or his enemies, his own son. He said, I remember. Isn't it sweet to remember in present trouble the former mercies of God? I remember. You think back, you that you've gone through stuff. I have too. I think back on things that someone come in and tell me something. I find out something just broke my heart. Or something that just sinks my soul. And you hear it. Brother Scott said one time, the worst part of it is when you first hear it. That's it. But you watch over time how the Lord delivered and kept you. And you think, I'm still here. That's what David says. I think back. I remember the days of old. Psalm, let me read this. Psalm 77, verses 3 to 6. Listen to this. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart and my spirit made diligent search. I think about how often the Lord has delivered me and kept me. And I'm still here. I'm still here. A miracle of God's grace. I'm still standing right here in a pulpit. The miracle is that I'm still standing at all in Him, kept by the power of God. David said concerning the Lord's mercies, he said, I meditate all thy works. I muse on the works of your hands. He said, Lord, you're Almighty God. I'm your servant. You're the deliverer of your people. Lord, deliver me. All that you've done for me, Lord, for that I remember. And I'm thankful. Verse 6, I stretch forth mine hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. Lord, you're my only hope. I have no other options. I have no other avenues. I have no other safety. From you flow rivers of living water. Lord, you're the fountain of life. My soul thirsts after you in a land that offers no refreshment. You're it. We who know so little, nothing of prayer. You say, I can enter into that. I'm so glad the Lord moved on David. Pen those words. Spirit of God moved them. Communion and fellowship, Lord, with you. That's the only relief I've got. When you're so broken down and pushed down that you can't even look up. But your heart can look to Him and cry unto Him. I stretch my hands unto you. Lord, in absolute submission, my soul thirsteth after thee. Oh, hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Here's the cry of one that's taught something about prayer. The supplications of a needy sinner, a needy believer. He carries those supplications in his heart. And he needs some relief right now. He doesn't pray, Lord, deliver me tomorrow. Lord, I need some help right now. I need some help now. Lord, you that have given me a hunger and a thirst after your righteousness. Lord, you promise that we'd be filled. Lord, fill me. Fill me right now. Help me right now. Hear me speedily. Listen, let me read this to you out of Daniel 9. Daniel 9:20. Here's the promise of deliverance. Daniel 9:20, 21. Whilst I was speaking, Daniel says, and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, informed me, talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I'm now come forth to give thee skill and some understanding. While I was praying, David said, Lord, deliver me speedily. Listen to Isaiah 65. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they're yet speaking, I will hear. That just amazes me. I'll tell you what I know about that. Before the Lord ever brings to my mind what He's going to chasten me about, He already knows what He's going to say to me. He already knows what I'm going to think. He already knows what I'm going to ask. And He's already sent the deliverance. And while I'm crying out to Him, Lord, deliver me speedily. Help me, Lord, speedily. My spirit's failing. He's the one that's caused my spirit to fail. And He's the one that's already speedily sent the remedy. Lord, if you don't help me, I'm going to be like those that go down to the pit. I'm going to be like those that just I have no hope. I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to do. I don't have anywhere else to go. Lord, help me. Cause me, verse 8, to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. Permit me, Lord, to hear from you. Lord, would it be okay if you just let me hear something? Lord, would it be permissible to you? Cause me to hear your loving kindness. And Lord, let it be in the morning. Let it be early. Let me hear. Give me the assurance of mercy. Because I'm in dire straits. I'm needing you for. In thee do I trust. I just don't have, I have no confidence in myself. And I love you. But there's nothing you can do for me. When my soul is in trouble, there's not a thing in the world you can do for me. Lord, cause me to hear thy loving kindness. Remind me of it. Bring it back to my memory. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But you know, a believer is not going to say, well, I'm just... cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know how this ought to be handled. Lord, I don't have sense enough. Guide me by your Spirit according to your word, your will, your purpose, your pleasure. Lord, I lift up my soul unto thee in prayer. I'm asking, I'm knocking, I'm seeking. Lord, you said. You said, knock, it'd be open. Lord, you said that. Lord, you said, seek, and you'd find. Lord, I'm seeking. You said, ask, it would be given. Lord, you said that. And Lord, I don't have anything but your word. That's all I got. Lord, deliver me. Deliver me, verse 9, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me, mine enemies. What are mine enemies? Well, I'm going to sum it up right here. Everything that would attempt to draw my heart away from you is an enemy. That's my enemy. Everything and everyone that would attempt to draw me away from you is my enemy. Deliver me. I flee unto thee to hide me. Hide me with thee. Lord, you're my refuge. You're my refuge from sin, from Satan. You're my refuge from myself. Lord, hide me. That's the only comfort that I got. That's the only security I've got. That's the only peace I've got, joy I've got. That's all I got. Teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God, thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Teach me to do thy will. Precious passage of Scripture, John 6. John chapter 6, the Lord revealed something concerning about Him, the Lord, doing the Father's will, and then something about Him teaching us to do the Father's will. Now listen to this, precious. John 6, 38 to 40. The Lord said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me." Now listen to what the Lord said concerning Him doing the Father's will. And this, verse 39, is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Now that's Him doing the Father's will. This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He's given me, I should lose nothing. Raise it up at the last day. Now listen to this concerning Him teaching us to do His will. Verse 40. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, here's the statement back in Psalm 143. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. What is the will of God for God's people? That they should believe on the Son. That's the Father's will. This is the Father's will that has sent me, that everyone which he's given me should believe on the Son. Teach me. Teach me. How is God going to teach us to believe Him? He's going to put us in situations where we're going to have to believe Him. That's the only way. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. I'm going to tell you, whenever God Almighty is pleased to draw us to pray, draw us to trust, draw us to come, draw us to hear, draw us to listen, I'm going to tell you what he's going to do. He's going to put us in a situation where we're going to have to do it. Teach me to do thy will. Teach me to believe on the Son. Teach me to do that. I mean, that's almost, a believer hears that and says, oh, I don't want to go through any, I don't want to go through anything. I don't want to, I told you about Walter, telling Betty Groover, I wish we could go through this life without having to go through all these problems. And she said, Walter, it don't work that way. Teach me to do your will. Teach me, Lord, to believe you. Teach me to trust you. Well, there's only one way. He's going to teach us. He's going to put us in that dire strait. He's going to put us in a situation where we're going to have to trust him. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. Lord, you that have quickened me the first time, quicken me again. Revive me again. You that's given me life, keep me alive. That's what he's saying. Revive your work of grace. Cheer my drooping spirit. Quicken me for thy name's sake, for your honor, that you might be glorified. Lord, prove your faithfulness to me by keeping me in the midst of these troubles. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Because I know I'm in it. I'm there. Lord, bring me out. Oh, unbelief so easily besets us. Temptations of Satan are ever with us. And I'm always filled with doubt and fear. Lord, for your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And last verse. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Lord, in your mercy to me, Lord, to your people, cut off my enemies that are your enemies. Destroy them that afflict my soul. Lord, you promise. You promised me you'd never leave me. You promised me that. You promised me. And Lord, all I'm doing is I'm asking what you've promised you do. Lord, for your mercy's sake, cut off my enemies. Lord, you did that. First of all, you did it at Calvary. Lord, you were made sin for your people. Lord, by your grace for me, you suffered the penalty of sin for me. Lord, you said sin wouldn't have dominion over me. I wouldn't be held accountable for my sin. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord won't impute the sin. Lord, you cut off. And Lord, my enemy of Satan, his head, you said, been crushed. And by faith that you've given me to resist the fiery darts of Satan, Lord, you promise that you're seated at the right hand of the throne of glory until all of your enemies that are my enemies are going to be put under your feet. And now we truthfully ask, O death, where's your sting? Where's the victory of the grave now for God's people? And here's the reason that God's people can cry this, because Lord, I'm your servant. I'm your servant. Lord, you made me. You chose me in Christ. You redeemed me. The Spirit of God quickened me. And you made me willing in the day of your power. Lord, deliver me. Lord, hear my prayer. Cause me to hear. Quicken me afresh. Lord, draw me to yourself. Teach me. Lord, help me. For your name's sake, amen.